Hi there, you are warmly welcome to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington, and this week standing in for Steve Palmer, who's away on his holes, is the brilliant super sub Joe Champion. We are looking ahead to the Memorial, a star-studded tournament in America. And we've also got the European Open in Germany with one star and pretty much most of the rest of the usual cast of the DP World Tour. Plus, we've got the US Women's Open, so tons to come up. Hopefully some decent winners and some great betting advice from Joe. First of all, though, let's recap last week. And Joe, the chef, is beatable. He finally got his wings clipped in a playoff with Sam Burns in the Charles Schwab Challenge. It was a dramatic, gusty, windy old final nine holes, wasn't it? Really good entertainment.
Yeah, really great entertainment to watch that. Less so if you, like me, were on Davis Riley, and we'll come around to what some of the beaten guys in a minute. But yeah, Scheffler, we've finally seen him beaten. But if anyone was going to beat him, it was going to be Sam Burns, who's been one of the most prolific players outside of Scheffler over the last 15 months. That was his fourth PGA Tour title since he won the Valspar in March 2021. He's a winning machine like Scheffler, both really good players.
And they're mates, aren't they? They're college contemporaries, I think, aren't they?
Yeah. And Sam Burns, what a player he is. And he's such a clutch player in these big moments as well, in the playoff as well. He held that long putt from off the green. It's not the first time he's held a big putt in to win a playoff.
And that was his first putt in hours, wasn't it? Because, of course, he posted a decent score. Then the wind got up, which might, I suppose, get some people to say, well, he got lucky. But I'm not so sure. I mean, you still have to post the score, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do. He obviously posted a score a little one or two short. We should come on to that. Like, I think four or five guys got to 10 under par, which was one better than Sam Burns. And Riley, the aforementioned Riley, got to 11 under.
I was on Riley's win, though. Joe, I feel your pain. That was horrific, wasn't it, what happened?
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to make that par save on 13. He missed a short putt and then hit his ball out of bounds on the 14th. Big mistakes from him. He wasn't the only one, though. There was, Harold Varner managed to play three holes in eight over par. Unbelievable stuff. Scheffler, he looked like the most solid of them all, despite dropping shots. He held that putt on 17 to remain at nine under and then got up and down in the bunker to get in the playoff. But yeah, beaten by Burns, who is a player who has that sort of finish in him. Great player that he is.
I mean, Joe, four wins in 14 months, as you say, that really makes him an absolute top tier player for my mind. And I think sometimes the betting market can be quite slow to react to that. I mean, I had a look to that the other day at the Open. I looked at the British Open betting. All right, the Open, just to make it clear for those people who think it's, you know, you should be jailed for calling it the British Open. And he's still 60 to 1. I thought it was a decent price.
Yeah, potentially. He wouldn't have played a lot of links golf, though, Sam Burns. I think maybe you can get 40 to 1 and in for the US Open. That would probably be a bit more of a tantalising proposition in my eyes. He's not played that well in majors, though, yet. That's the next step for him, really. He was 20th at the USPGA. That was his best major finish. Hadn't done a lot else in the Mr. Carter Masters. That was on debut, though, to be fair. But, yeah, that's the next step up for a player who's in the world's top 10 now. So,
yeah, Davis Riley turning to Mavis Riley, didn't he? Got very indecisive, very poor. That was disappointing. And a few others. I mean, Spieth looked like he might get there, but he was a bit lame, wasn't he? What was up with Spieth, though, last week? Was he short putting again?
Yeah, he did miss three kind of short putts. I tipped Spieth as well last week, like Steve did. He missed three short putts in the final round when he looked like he might get in the mix. But really, the approaches weren't dialed in. He's been great with his long game recently. Was good off the tee, not traditionally a strength. But approaches weren't really there, and not great sort of on the greens, but not terrible like he's been in recent weeks. So, I mean, it'll come together for him at some point, and he'll probably win again soon.
And we also had a playoff in Europe, didn't we? Tell us what happened there. I think it was a good 10 minutes, I think, for people called Perez, wasn't it? Because I think just as Sergio Perez was winning the Monaco Grand Prix, Victor Perez, and I felt for Steve because, I mean, he's been tipping Perez loyally for a long time and he got off him last week. And I guess that's the scourge of golf tipping, isn't it, Joe? You get players you latch onto because you think they're due a win and you can't keep tipping them. And sod's law, the moment you stop, they go and do that.
Yeah, that's what happens. I've tipped Perez a couple of times in the last couple of months. It was clear his game was coming back to something like its best. Let's not forget, this is a player who he reached the semi-finals of the World Match Play. He looked like he was going to make the Ryder Cup squad, and then his long game fell off the cliff. Traditionally, you know, a great long game player, Victor Perez. But what a finish to this golf tournament. Did you watch the playoff, Bruce?
I didn't, mate. No, I was there was all sorts going on Sunday. So I was, yeah, I can't remember what I was doing, but I was flicking around. But I must admit, I didn't have a financial involvement in the playoff. I didn't really care who won. So I swerved it. Tell me all about it.
So, well, Ryan Fox looked like he was going to win again.
Oh, yeah, I saw Ryan Fox blew it. That's why I didn't watch it, because I tuned in and Ryan Fox, I think, had like a 3 or 4 shot lead with a couple of holes to play. So I thought, well, Ryan Fox will win. And then he kind of Van der Velde'd it, didn't he?
Yeah, he made a 7 at the par 5 18th to drop back to 13 under. And then Perez managed to tie him on that score. And then in the playoff, they played 4 holes in the playoff. And Perez, he held 3 absolute bombs. There were 2 just to stay in it. And then they played the 18th 3 times. He held a couple of bombs to extend the playoff. We're not talking sort of 10-foot putts here. We're talking 20, 30-feet putts. I mean, I urge you to go back and watch the video. If you haven't seen it, Bruce, it's absolutely unbelievable. And then he holds one from even further on the 17th to birdie, and Fox can't match him. So absolutely phenomenal putting performance from a player who really is a good player when he's in the mood. And yeah, spare a thought for Ryan Fox back, as he was matched at 50s on Betfair Exchange. So yeah, bad beat.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, so Victor Perez, your Dutch Open winner. So it was a good week last week, and it should be a great week this coming up. We've got 3 really good tournaments, the best of which is the Memorial. Let's set the scene with the latest betting from Boyle Sports, who offer 10 lovely places to each way backers. Here we go, 8-1 John Rahm and Rory McIlroy, 12 Colin Morikawa, 14 Patrick Cantlay, 14 Jordan Spieth and Cameron Smith, and Xander Schauffele, 18 Shane Lowry and Matt Fitzpatrick, 18 Victor Hovland, 20 Zalatoris, 22 Matsuyama and 25 Barr. So lots of good ones. Where are we this week, Joe?
We're at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio. This is the Jack Nicklaus, the home of Jack, Jack's Place, they call it. This is a 7,392-yard par 72 designed by Nicklaus himself. And they've played a tournament every year here since 1976. And they played 2 here in 2020. You might remember when Colin Morikawa won the Workday Challenge as well. This is a course where all the best, like the winners, tend to be top quality ball strikers. Tiger Woods has won there 5 times. Justin Rose, Hideki Matsuyama. Patrick Cantlay's won there twice. You remember last year when John Rahm had to withdraw. Rahm himself won there in 2020 as well.
And, was that when Rahm was contending, but he had COVID?
He wasn't just contending. He was 6 shots clear going into the final round, and was told as he was walking off the green that he's tested positive. But yeah, that list of winners shows us what we're looking for this week. Top class players.
Excellent. Okay, how many selections?
4.
Not bad. That's all right. I think if you hit a wayward drive, and I was standing on the boundary, right? On the side of the fairway, I would want a lustier 4 than that. But that's all right. Yeah, we get the message.
That was more of a token PGA Tour effort after someone's moaned at them, wasn't it? Rather.
Exactly. Yeah. Quite. Okay. Who is your number one pick, Joe?
So the best bet this week is Rory McIlroy, who's never won this tournament before. Rory McIlroy, there's not a lot of tournaments where he hasn't contended, but he's finished in the top 10 here 4 times. And you know, this is a course that should suit McIlroy. It's a bit surprising that he's never gone so close here, but he returns to Muirfield Village in excellent form, having finished, he's obviously runner-up at the Masters, 5th at the Wells Fargo, and most recently 8th at the USPGA. He obviously got off to a great start at the USPGA and faltered a bit over the weekend, but it just shows that his game is in great order, McIlroy. I think, you know, perhaps there is a sort of confidence issue when it comes to major championships, but he's still, you know, adept at winning PGA Tour events. He won the Wells Fargo last year. He won the CJ Cup in the autumn. I'm not concerned about McIlroy getting over the line in these types of events. And this is one he dearly loved to win. You know, Jack Nicklaus, a legend of the game. This is his tournament. It's one that Rory should want to tick off his list over the next few years and hopefully this week. He's finished 13th or better in 7 of his last 9 starts, 7 of his 9 starts worldwide this year. And his all-round game is in excellent shape. This is a top ball strikers course. McIlroy is strength traditionally the driver. He ranks 3rd in strokes gained off the tee this season. You know, he's just a prodigious driver. But the big worry of McIlroy usually is his approach play. He's really dialed it in recently. He's been 15th or better in strokes gained approach in his last 3 starts. And I think a similar long game performance should see him go close.
I've just, You made such a good case, and I was on him for the USPGA. I've just got this intangible sort of concern with Rory that something always goes wrong. He just falters somewhere along the way. He'll have a test, and I don't know. But look, you're getting 10 places, and you know he's generally in or around the top 10. So totally get that.
Yeah, that's it. I was just going to say, I think that, you know, I was trying to pick holes in Rory, and I was looking at his all-round numbers, and there's just not much going wrong there at the moment. I think he's just so close to finding maybe not the player he once was, but he's not far away.
Well, it might all click this week, and he could win half the track. Okay, so Rory is your number one tip. Who's the main danger?
So the main danger, I think, is Will Zalatoris, who he missed the cut last week, but I think we can definitely forgive him for that. You know, he lost that PGA playoff, and that's going to take some getting over, I think. Muirfield Village, it's this big boys golf course, I think. You know, these guys that fry from tee to green. Zalatoris very much in that category. You know, his best performances have all come in major championships, and he's at his best on this kind of golf course. He leads the tour in strokes gained tee to green this year, and is one of the best iron players on tour. We talk about former winners of this, Patrick Cantlay, Morikawa, John Rahm's irons were, you know, the best they've been in a long time when he went close to winning. The putting stroke is still scary. I'm not going to deny that.
It's the short putts, isn't it? He's all right. He's a very good long putter, but once he gets near the hole,
that's true. It's the takeaway for me. But I think anything close to an average putting performance, and as long as Zalatoris' long game is as good as it can be, then he's likely to go close. He was fifth at the Masters, runner-up, as I said, at the PGA. And I think he served his apprenticeship now. He's ready to win. He missed the cut in his only previous start here, but that was in 2018 when he was ranked about 2,000th in the world. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. He's at least had a look at the golf course before in a competitive action.
Okay, and talking of players who suffered PGA Tour disappointment, PGA Championship disappointment, quick word on Mito Pereira, who played really well last week, that he showed bounce back ability there. Okay, we've got two more tips. They are?
Sorry, I've only got three for this one, Bruce, actually.
Oh, have you? You got three? You said four.
Yeah, I did. I'll go for a lustier four coming up in the European Open. I've got
Has one of them just withdrawn, or you just miscalculated?
No. All I knew right. I had four in one and three in the other.
Okay, right then. Who's the third?
Right, so the last one is Max Homa, who's a man who knows, like Sam Burns, he's a man who knows how to win big tournaments, and he's got that long game prowess, which should be a great fit for Muirfield Village. Burns won the 2019 Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow, a real ball strikers golf course, which suits strong tee to green players, and he showed his ability to handle a difficult sort of classical test when winning the 2021 Genesis Invitational at Riviera Country Club. He's since claimed another title at his second Wells Fargo title, that time at TPC Potomac. And he was 13th for the USPGA, and that was his best major finish. We mentioned Sam Burns as someone who needs to start doing better in majors. Max Homa and Sam Burns, very similar sort of career trajectories. They both won a lot of titles, but they need to start playing better in majors. But this is a test that's a sort of similar major championship test. If he's got designs on winning the US Open, I'd expect him to sort of go well in these tournaments. I don't think he's afraid of any competition. He's won, as I say, big titles, especially that Riviera one, when that was a completely stacked field. He was 23rd last week. Another solid performance from a really likable player. I'd be surprised if he doesn't go well again.
He's golf's greatest tweeter, isn't he? Very good on Twitter. Very funny. Excellent. Okay, so we've got McIlroy, we've got Zalatoris, and we've got Homa. Quick word on any of the others. Big Johnny Rahm. I mean, can you back him at single figures, given how rarely he's contending and winning these days?
No, not in this company. He'll get it back. He's such a class player, but aside from that win in Mexico in a really weak field, I've not seen enough from Rahm to recommend him at those sort of odds.
Okay, fair enough. Should we move on to the Porsche European Open?
Yep, Candy.
Righty-ho. That is, tell us about the course while I get the prices up, Joe.
So it's Green Eagle Golf Course in Hamburg, Germany. So this is a long, long golf course. It's billed as 7,603 yards, but it can play even longer from the back tees. Up to sort of 7,800. It features five par five holes, including three of the last four holes, including an absolute brute at 703 yards.
What? 703?
Yeah.
That's a par eight.
Yeah, well, par 19 for me, I think.
Yeah, wow.
So This course has hosted this event every year since 2017. They didn't have one in 2020. And it's been won by an Englishman each year, Jordan Smith, Richard McAvoy. Do you remember him?
Beat the Shambo. He beat Deshaun. Deshaun was very unsporting, wasn't he?
Yeah. Paul Casey in 2019 and Marcus Armitage most recently. When it was a free round event, there was they moved it last year to circumnavigate the COVID rules. It became a Saturday to Monday event. So, long golf course suits aggressive sluggers off the tee.
703 yards. That's going to give me nightmares. Right then, here is the latest betting from Boyle Sports, who offer 8 places, other prices obviously, and place terms available. Tommy Fleetwood is 10-1. He dominates the market for another English victory. And then we're back to our usual European Tour players. 18-1, Adrian Meronk. 22, Rasmus Højgaard. 22, Jordan Smith. 22, Robert McIntyre. 25, Pablo Larrazabal. And 28, Adrián Nuñez. And Victor Pérez, 30 bars. So then, Joe, do we go with the big name at the top of the bill, or are we going to look further down? You must have 4 here, mustn't you?
I do, yeah.
Do you want to do a 4? How many tips you got here, Joe?
4!
Very good. That's miles better. That's much, much better. Okay, right then. Who's the headliner?
Yes, I'm not looking much further down the betting. I'm going with Adrian Meronk. This is an obvious selection, I think. But
finally, Adrian Meronk. Come on, man. Contends every week.
Yeah, he's playing so well, Meronk. And I think that elusive first win's coming. It's Jubilee weekend. Steve might be having a street party with his Polish neighbours. So hopefully that they can be cheering on Adrian Meronk. Phenomenal record this season without winning, Meronk. 11 starts on the DP World Tour this season. He's 6 top 6 finishes, including the Sudau Open, where he was 6th 3 weeks ago, and 3rd, one shot off the playoff at the Dutch Open last week. I put him up last week. I'm keeping the faith with Meronk. Yeah, did you see that remarkable par save he made? Talk about John Vandeveld earlier. Meronk on the, short par 3. He hits ball in the water. It's sort of lying on top of a piece of algae or something. He's waded in up to his knees.
No way.
And, has played his second shot to the middle of the green, about and hold from 40 feet to save par. Oh. I was thinking at that point, having backed him, I was thinking, right, this is going to be our week. Meronk's going to can't lose now. But he came close again. Unfortunately, it wasn't to be. But
was he really up to his knees in water? I love it when golfers go into the water to play shots, don't you? It's really exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it's a par save of the season, this. You'll be able to find it on Twitter.
Oh, well, I love it. Fantastic.
Meronk, strong driver. I've said already, this is a golf course that's going to suit aggressive golfers. Only Victor Hovland and Jordan Smith possess better strokes gained off the tee figures than Adrian Meronk on the DP World Tour this season. Only Smith's in the field of those two this week. So, talking about the second best driver in this field on figures. He might have been disappointed by last week's finish, where he did come close again, but that did earn him a spot in the Open. So he should be buzzing about that. And so he shouldn't be too downbeat arriving in Hamburg. And he might be Polish, but he was born in Hamburg. So I'm sure he dearly loved to win this tournament.
Tremendous.
45th on debut last year, where he started slowly in that free round event. I'd expect him to do much better this week.
We just need to make sure he's not a bottle job, don't we, Joe? He might be a bottle job, mightn't he? He's just, I know that people over use that label, but he's had just one or two too many chances without winning for me to have full confidence in him. But who knows?
Yeah,
it's like Finau got the monkey off his back, didn't he? And maybe Meronk will this week.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, right then. Presumably, if Meronk is your headline section, you're not going for Tommy Fleetwood. Is that right?
No. Should we talk about Tommy Fleetwood now?
Yeah, let's do Tommy Fleetwood now, and then we'll get the other three. What don't you like about him?
Tommy Fleetwood obviously is a fantastic long game player. This is a course where he should expect to go well. I think he contended in his only previous start here. But at the same time, we're talking about a player who hasn't won since November 2019. And he's sort of got his form back, played well at the Masters, played well at the PGA. He's definitely the right favourite, but I just can't have him considering he hasn't won for so long.
Okay, fair enough. So who can you have?
So I'm going with two Germans for my next two, local boys. The first one of which is a sweet spot favourite, and that's Hurley Long, who went close to titles in Ras Al Khaimah and Kenya. And then he sort of went off the boil a bit, perhaps understandably so. You can't expect these players to stay you know, contending for so long. But he's back to form now. He was sixth at the British Masters and 10th at the Dutch Open last week. Lives up to his name off the tee, does Hurley Long. He's very long, so he should be able to attack these par fives. He ranks third in par five scoring on the DP World Tour this season. Remember, we've got five par fives for him to attack this week. Really like him. He's played this course before a couple of times, missed cuts, but we're talking about 3-4 years ago before he was a top 500 player. Much better should be expected from him. And the next guy on my list is Marcel Schneider, who he opened up at 100 to 1 yesterday, and there's been a bit of money around for him. He's now 55 to 1 with Boyle Sports, and I'm not surprised to see money come for Marcel Schneider. Playing very well. He struggled at the start of the season, having regained his tour card via the Challenge Tour, but found form recently. Finished 13th for the Catalunya Championship, 7th for the Sudal, and 4th for the Dutch, so he's trending in the right direction. Two-time winner on the Challenge Tour, so I think he can definitely get over the line if he gets in contention. And he was 7th in this event last year, despite playing it on the back of 3 missed cuts in a row.
Wow, you make a good coach. By the way, just thinking, Joe, with 3 par fives in the last 4 holes, if you're betting in running on this, it's going to be very volatile, isn't it? It's not going to be over till it's over, because a lot can happen there. I mean, we see that at Wentworth with par fives. Yeah, you see that at Wentworth with the par five finish, don't you? That's very, very changeable. Something to bear in mind if you're betting in play. And finally, Joe, who do you like?
So the last one returned to form last week, and that's Guido Migliozzi. High-class player, has finished in top tens in majors before, lost his way, but I was sort of keeping an eye on him because he'd been slowly edging back to form, sort of finishing, making the weekend, but finishing down the field. And I was just waiting for another sign of him going back to his best. And 7th in this event last year, 2 years ago as well. So that was his only previous appearance. This is a long golf course, which should suit an aggressive player like Migliozzi.
Excellent. Right then. Well done, Joe. And finally, we've got the US Women's Open. And I'll give you Boyle Sports show on this. There you go. And they've got 6 places on this as well. So 15-2, Jin Young Ko. 12-1, Lydia Ko. As we always say with the ladies' golf, do please check. There's a lot of repeating surnames. 12, Minji Lee. 13, Lexi Thompson. 20, Nelly Korda. 22, Hannah Green and Nasa Hatoko. I didn't say that very well. And it's 28 bar. Where is the US Women's Open being played this year?
So it's a Pine Needles in North Carolina. That's a classic old golf course, a Donald Ross design. It's hosted this event 3 times before, won by Annika Sorenstam, Carrie Webb and Christy Kerr, all long hitters. I think we're looking for women that are long off the tee this week, which is why Jin Young Ko, not for me, great player. Form's dipped a bit in recent weeks, but lack of length could hurt.
Okay, champ, who's the main selection? No, how many have you got more than that?
Two this week.
Right then, who's number one?
So the number one selection is Lexi Thompson, who made her debut at Pine Needles in 2007 as a 12-year-old. Can you believe that?
Wow. We were just talking about Lester Piggott. He won his first race as a 12-year-old, didn't he? I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? And Lexi Thompson playing competitive golf at 12. I was going to say, when you said 2007, I was thinking, well, she must have been young then. But I didn't think she'd be as young as 12. That's extraordinary. Well,
she's been around forever, it seems, Lexi. But she's only 27.
Amazing.
Yeah, and quite unbelievably, she's only won one major since. That was the 2014 Chevron Championship. I think she's obviously got a few mental hurdles to, a bit like McIlroy recently in majors. Clearly struggles to get over the line in these biggest events. But this is a course that really should suit. She's an aggressive slugger off the tee, and she's been in great form recently. She was 4th at the most recent edition of the Chevron, 13th at Palos Verdes, and runner-up at the Cognizant Championship last time out. This Donald Ross course, small greens, she leads the LPGA Tour in greens hit in regulation this season. That should this should play to her strength. She's a bomber off the tee, but she's also good with her approaches.
Okay, lovely stuff. And who's the other selection?
And the other selection is Madeline Sagström, the Swedish Solheim Cup player who will love to try and emulate Annika Sorensen this week. She's finished in the top 20 in 4 of the last 5 women's majors, including when runner-up at the Women's Open last year, playing really well, Sagström. LPGA form figures of 13th, 3rd, 9th and 3rd from her last 4 stroke play starts, including the Chevron. And she reached the quarterfinals of the match play last weekend as well.
Lovely stuff. And I think I see 33s with balls. I don't know if there's bigger elsewhere, but okay, jolly good. Joe, should we reiterate your tips? 3 tournaments this week. And first up, we'll go with the Memorial.
So So I've gone for Rory McIlroy, Will Zalatoris, and Max Homa.
And the European Open?
Adrian Meronk, Hurley Long, Marcel Schneider, and Guido Migliozzi.
And the US Women's Open?
Alexi Thompson and Madeline Sagstrom.
Excellent. So all those three tournaments begin on Thursday, the European one very early, so you probably need to get your bets on by Wednesday, particularly if you are doing your multiples. I think that's it, Joe, isn't it? What your tips are explaining greater detail in the Racing and Football Outlook, are they this week?
Yep, very much so.
And who's doing racing? Who's standing in for Steve in the Racing Post? Is it Wilco?
It is Ian Wilkerson, the Racing Post Super Sub.
Yeah, fresh from his excellent performance in the Edinburgh Marathon. So hopefully he's still got some energy to find some winners there. Brilliant stuff. Right then, we are back next week to look at the Scandinavian Mixed, the Canadian Open, which makes a welcome return, and it's the first of those Saudi-backed tour events. It remains to be seen what the field will be like, but we'll be having a look at that as well. In the meantime, let us know who you fancy. Post your comments at the bottom. Hit the thumbs up if you enjoyed the show. Thank you very much for that. Bet responsibly, and we'll see you next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.